This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We go to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. We bring in the Iron Man of social media, the king of kickball, and all that is Cavaliers that we need to know. He is Chris Fedor. You hear him here on 92.3 The Fan, but we read him every day in the Plain Dealer at Cleveland.com. Hello, Chris, or Christopher, as I should call you today.
How are
you?
Chris.
What's up, guys?
How are you, man?
You are.
I'm doing great. How are you?
Great.
Good mood. Kickball start yet? I'm going to get in trouble for asking that first yet, but.
Yeah, you are.
Yep. Did it start?
No, it has not yet. We still don't know what's going to happen. We're not through everything when it comes to COVID at this stage, but we're getting closer.
All right. I'll keep looking for the standings online and your is it kicking average then? Not batting average. All right. Let's get to the Cavs before
I get fired. I keep tracking my own head.
Well, let us know next time we talk. All right. So, first of all, Anderson Varejão officially back today. Explain this entire story to me and how he's back on the Cavaliers. And to me, the thing I like the most about it is I didn't like the way things went when he went down, when he ended up in Golden State. Totally understood it, but it just felt super awkward when the Cavs were playing the Warriors.
Yeah, I mean, he's not here to play 30 minutes a night or anything along those lines. He's here on a celebratory 10-day contract, which is going to turn into a second 3-day contract because 10 days is going to run out before the end of the season, and the Cavs want him here for the rest of the year. The bottom line is, like, Andy wanted this, the Cavs wanted this, and there was an opportunity to get this done here at the end of the season to make it so that his final NBA games aren't played in a Golden State Warriors jersey at the beginning of February. Now his final NBA games can be played here in Cleveland, which he considers home, with the organization where he spent 12 years, where he was a beloved member of the organization, and he can get the proper send-off, something that he hasn't gotten throughout the course of his career, because he didn't know when his career was going to end. He didn't know when he was finally going to hang it up. And obviously, you know, what happened in 2016 with him getting traded to Portland and then going to the Golden State Warriors, that was hard on him. He talked about that earlier today. And I think he feels like it's right, and the Cavs feel like it's right, to have his final games in the NBA being played with the Cavaliers the way that it should be.
You know, Chris, my guess is this would not have happened 2 years ago because of hard feelings. You know, I'll bet it took a little time for Anderson to think, all right, this would be okay for me. Because, man, and Andy and I talked about this earlier, you can't argue that Channing Frye was a valuable member of the 2016 championship team, both on the court and especially, maybe even more so, in the locker room. That's not to downplay Anderson's contributions, but to me it was one of those professional sports moments that just stunk.
Yep.
Because if anybody on the Cavs deserved to be on a championship team, it was Anderson Varejão, and yet they won it without him, and he's sitting on the other bench. That just stunk.
Yeah. For sure. There's no doubt about it. And look, it wouldn't have happened, I don't think, for the Cavs if they would have had to release a player. They weren't going to release Matthew Dellavedova or release Damian Dotson or any of these guys to make room for Andy. But because of all the injuries that they're dealing with, they're able to apply for this hardship exception. They're able to get an 18th roster spot, a temporary 18th roster spot, and they're able to make this happen. And that's really all it is. And in the meantime, you bring somebody back who maybe the teammates can gravitate towards. Maybe he can bring a positivity to this locker room because he is always positive. He always looks at the positives in things. And at the end of this year, a year that a lot of these players wanted to end in a play-in tournament, instead they've collapsed. You know, having his leadership, having his veteran presence, having his experience, having, like I said, his positivity can't hurt. I'm not saying it's going to make the huge difference for this organization, especially going into next year, but it certainly can't hurt to have this kind of guy around these young guys.
Chris, before I get more into the Cavaliers, I just want to ask you this question. I'm curious how things went over at the league office when LeBron said the person should be fired for coming up with this play-in tournament. And I truthfully don't think LeBron would have cared if his team was nowhere near the play-in tournament. But now that, you know, the Lakers are floating around that spot, how do you think that went over the league office, and what do you think of the story itself?
Well, I think it's LeBron being LeBron, because LeBron wanted this. LeBron talked about how great the play-in tournament was going to be for the NBA. That was last year, by the way, when his team was nowhere near the play-in tournament. So now that his team is close to the play-in tournament, obviously he doesn't like it as much. But he was in favor of it. He supported it. He's on record saying that the play-in tournament was great last year. And now all of a sudden he doesn't like it. So I think it's being, in this case, very hypocritical. And I think he recognizes that the Lakers are not in a great place going into what could be a play-in tournament or the playoffs. And he's trying to do everything possible to bring to light that the only reason why the Lakers are in this situation or might not go as far in the playoffs is because of this change that the NBA made.
It is kind of weird. The play-in tournament's just great unless you're the 7 or 8 seed.
I love LeBron, but he's like this all the time, right? If you remember a couple years ago, we were having the conversation with LeBron about MVP and what the definition of MVP is. And his definition is always going to be what's best for him to win MVP. He didn't want people to focus on the gaudy stats, right? Because Steph was putting up those gaudy stats and some of these other players, James Harden, was putting up those gaudy stats. So LeBron was trying to change the definition of MVP to what fit best for him to potentially win it. And he was like, hey, look, don't focus on those stats. Focus on value. Focus on impact. Focus on win-loss record. Essentially what he was saying was, focus on the things that help me best. I don't blame him for that. Players are like that all the time because they want what's best for them, and I get it. But we have to be honest about what he's doing here when it comes to this play-in tournament. He doesn't like it because his Lakers are in danger of making it.
Yep. Absolutely. You have a Cavalier team that has just been decimated with injuries to the point, as you said, you go out and you're able to get an 18th guy and bring in Anderson. But before we talk about anything specific, if this team had 50% of the injury situation that it had, where would it be? Would it be knocking on the door of that play-in tournament, Chris? Or is that too ambitious?
Yeah, I think that's too ambitious simply because Washington has been playing great. Washington has always had more high-level talent with Russell Westbrook and Bradley Beal. And Washington has always had more experience than the Cavs have. I think it's interesting to point out that, yes, the Cavs have dealt with these injuries, and yes, that's played a part in this collapse down the stretch. But at the same time, like, once they started getting into these meaningful games, quote-unquote meaningful games, what they saw as meaningful games, like, they didn't handle those well because they didn't know how to handle those well. You know what I mean? Like, Darius Garland hadn't been in that environment. Colin Sexton hadn't been in that environment. Isaac Okoro, same thing. Jared Allen, even. You could say the same about him because, you know, he was part of Brooklyn when they were going in the rebuild and they were starting to make that turn, not when they were the super team that they are right now. So I think that was always going to be a hurdle for this team. I think it was great that they got to experience some of those pressure-packed moments and pressure-packed games, but it was clear that when they were in them, they didn't know how to handle them. And I think that was always going to be a hurdle facing them in a way that, you know, Washington can deal with that and some Indiana even can deal with that.
You've seen it in the fourth quarters, Chris. You know,
Oh, my God, yeah.
It's been rough.
Sure, I mean, like, they didn't know what their best lineup was to close games, right? They didn't know what their best set to go to was to get a bucket late in a game because they hadn't been in those kinds of moments, because they hadn't had the time throughout the course of the season to figure out what their best lineup was going to be because of those injuries, because they didn't have an opportunity to build the continuity like some of these other teams. So there were just a lot of things that they were trying to figure out on the fly, and you can't really figure those things out and answer those things in those kinds of moments, right? You need those answers beforehand so you can lean on those things.
Where are we with this Kevin Love thing? You know, I was okay with after, you know, I know he made a stupid play against Toronto and I'm sure he regretted it. And like, I was just like, let it go. And I mean, I've wanted to support Kevin Love the whole time. And there's still a part of me that still, you know, likes him. But the thing with Chris Haynes and talking about Portland, I don't blame him for doing that, but it's just a bad look right now, isn't it? Where are we with Kevin right now?
Well, in some ways, I feel like we're in the same place that we always have been. But I think this is what's complicated when it comes to the Cavs, and I think this is why there's a situation right now with the Cavs where they're trying to figure out what to do with Kevin, what's best for Kevin, and what's best for them, right? But
right.
Every single time you ask yourself that question, you also have to come back to the reality of it. So sure, the Cavs might think it's best to move on from Kevin, and Kevin may think it's best to not play here in Cleveland. But how do you go about that? So you sit there and you say, well, trade him. All right, but here's the problem with that. The Cavs see him one way, and the rest of the NBA sees him another way. It's been that way for the last year and a half, maybe even longer than that. Teams around the NBA are saying, we're doing you a favor. We'll take Kevin from you, but we're doing you a favor. So you need to attach an asset and send us something as a sweetener to take his bad contract, to take his moodiness, to take his injury proneness. And the Cavs are saying, no. We have seen when Kevin is healthy, when Kevin's head is in the right place, he can be a plus for us. He spaces the floor. He makes things easier on Darius Garland, Colin Sexton. He can be the kind of leader for these guys because they look up to him. They respect him. They see the kind of work that he puts in. So the Cavs are like, we're not in a situation right now where we're going to give up a first-round pick or a young, talented player just to get rid of Kevin, who we consider to still be valuable for us. And then if you want to go down the route of a buyout, okay, that's really tricky because we're talking about $60 million.
Yikes.
It's a lot. So how much is Kevin willing to give back, and what do the Cavs need to get back from Kevin in a buyout to go down that road? And then you can talk about waive and stretch, which is something that has some merit, but I have been told, one, that hasn't been brought up internally, and two, there are people in the Cavs front office that are completely against that because you stretch it over 5 years, and then you have that salary hanging over you for the next 5 years, and it could, emphasis on could, prevent some of the things that you can do from a roster standpoint, a team-building standpoint, for the next 5 years because you couldn't deal with this guy anymore because he became too much of a headache. And you can't just outright release him. So, like, what is the path? And if you talk about the path, none of them are great options for the Cavs. And that's what they've dealt with for the last year and a half, maybe even 2 years.
If nothing happens and Kevin's back here next year, your thought is what?
My thought is he needs to be more of a grown-up, and he needs to be the leader that he promised to be. That's what it comes down to. He signed up for this. He accepted this responsibility. And with this responsibility and with his contract comes a lot of demand, a lot of expectation. But again, it's what he signed up for. And he can't be a detriment. Like, this isn't a young player making these kinds of boneheaded mistakes at the ends of games, right? This is one person in this organization that hasn't been able to keep his temper tantrums under control. And it's supposed to be the leader of this thing. And you can't have guys like him acting that kind of way. And if he's going to continue to act that kind of way, and I know it's just been momentary things, right? But these young guys look up to him. They look at the things that he does on and off the court. They take cues from him. And if you're in a rebuild, when you're talking about environment and culture and accountability, like, this is the last person that you can afford to have these kinds of things happen with. So if he can't be the guy that he says he's going to be, then I do think the Cavs are just going to have to swallow it, bite the bullet, and move on from him. If he can be better, like he says he can be better, and he can grow up, and he can keep his emotions in check, I do think he can be a positive both on the court and off the court. But I think at the end of the day, it's up to Kevin.
Just along those chemistry lines, just thinking about the Colin Sexton story from the last couple of days too, about, you know, guys saying on the floor that they're telling, hey, he's not going to pass you the ball. Where are we with that, and how do we move forward past that with him having a future with chemistry with the rest of his teammates? And, you know, how does those kind of stories aren't good stories for teams trying to build something towards a future.
No, I would agree with that. But Kevin has said on record, and Colin has said on record, and you can take this for what it is, they've both said that there is no problem between them. The truth is, Colin Sexton can be a difficult player to play with stylistically. You can say that about a lot of players in the NBA, though. So it's not just a Colin thing specifically. At the same time, yeah, I mean, it's bad optics when, you know, Kevin shows bad body language because Colin's dribbling too much, right? Or Colin takes a shot that the guys don't want him to take. It's bad optics when Kevin stomps toward Colin, takes the basketball, and fires it at Jetty Osman's feet. If there's something that you can say about the most recent tantrum, and it's something that the Cavs continue to say, it wasn't directed at a teammate. It wasn't directed at a coach. It wasn't directed at Kobe Altman or anybody in the front office. It was something where he was really, really frustrated with a lot of different things. His health, him not being at 100%, the losing, end of a road trip, and the foul calls that he thought were supposed to be called for him that weren't called for him. So there were a lot of things, but it wasn't specifically directed at teammates or anybody within the organization or anything along those lines. And that's what Kevin will continue to say, and that's what people inside the organization will continue to say, that this one, this outburst most recently, is different than some of these other ones throughout the past couple of years.
In the draft, you want a what? And I know that's really looking down the road.
Player.
Like, a what? I'm sorry?
I want a star player. I don't think it matters what position the guy plays, right? I think it's about a skill set that he brings to the table. And if you can bring somebody, even as a guard, that brings a different element to this basketball team, then I'm going to be all for it. The thing that they're lacking most isn't a position. It's a skill set. It's a two-way big guy in terms of size, like bigger than Colin Sexton, bigger than Darius Garland, that can go out and create plays. In a lot of ways, it's Kevin Porter Jr. That style player is what they're lacking. That style player is what they need. They need a focal point of this rebuild, somebody that they can build around, because they can't build around Darius and they can't build around Colin. I don't think they can build around Isaac Okoro. That centerpiece is not here yet.
Chris, as always, best of luck to you the rest of the Cavalier season, but more importantly, just being able to send that utility ball over the fence. That's why you're
Thanks,
the man.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Goodbye, Chris.
Thanks, Chris.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe.
Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.